This morning, we will continue on with our lesson from last week. The carnal man in the church, or the fleshly man in the church. And we were talking before church and having a pretty good time talking about the people and what's done in the flesh. And at this time of the year, we have to be strong in the Lord. And I was telling one of us this morning that we need the discernment of spirits in the church, and that God has gifted the church. He's placed the gifts that He's given to men of discerning, of ministering to people, of teaching, the fivefold ministry that He placed in the church, and of the spiritual gifts that He gave or spread throughout for the perfecting of the saints. Because the church needs protection, and the church needs protection because Satan is infiltrating the church. If we would look at it, and I told you, I guess I've been telling you for a while, that Louisiana is a particular state. It's a peculiar state in that it's one of the first states of the Union that is lost. That's a lost state, an example of a lost state. And that we have to be careful. We are examples unto the other states of the Union. Just like Israel and Judah was our examples in the Old Testament of what happens to God's people when they are chosen and they go out and they start losing the blessings of God because if they think that they are special or that they are God's people, and they become carnal, they become fleshly. They become humanistic in their thinking, and they blend in, they syncretize. And in other words, a syncretistic religion, they caramelize other religions into their religious faith. That's what Israel did. That's what Judah did. The people of God throughout history have done that. In this last day and time, we see where the Roman Catholic Church has done that. And her Protestant daughters, which was spun out, the Protestant churches, those are the daughters that they talk about in Revelation, they have also acted more wickedly than their harlot mother, the Catholic Church. And the churches that were spun off from those, the independent churches that we have today, are even much more worse. But you need a vanguard in each and all of those churches, because the particular church isn't. The unit of each person in that church is not bad. And we have to realize we're fighting against principalities in power, spiritual wickedness in high places. In that, so we're not saying about a particular denomination as a whole, because if we look where our scripture come from, we're in the book of Obadiah, and it's talking about Edom, how we got off on this thing. It's talking about Edom, God speaking to Edom. Edom was a picture of the flesh, a carnal man, but he was a brother of Jacob, Esau. And we have brothers in the world, just like, as I said, of this state, of this religious union here. Because remember, Louisiana was originally the largest state with that Louisiana purchase of how far that they expanded or whatever. We see it says, verse 13, thou shouldest not enter into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. Neither shouldest thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those that did escape. Neither shouldest thou delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of his distress. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen, as thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thine reward shall return unto thine own head. For as ye have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually, and they shall drink, and they shall swallow down, and they shall be as though they had not been. In other words, destruction to the pagans. Edom seen that Judah was suffering from this calamity, that Babylon and all these warring armies was taking advantage of them. They were going into captivity and destruction. And what Edom did, instead of helping, they fought against Judah, which was their brother. Instead of a lot of the people of the nation helping the state, when the state was devastated by Katrina, the federal government sat back and they looked, and they sat back for days up on ends while New Orleans suffered, and the people scattered all about trying to get away, trying to be saved, and trying to go to Atlanta or Houston or different places to save themselves. But what happens, they take advantage and go in and loot them and pillage them, just like Edom did to Judah. They go in and pillage and take away and hold those captive that they came there. It's a lot of people that hadn't returned to New Orleans, that were in New Orleans to this day hadn't returned. They're held captive in other places, and a lot of those are God's people. A lot of them heathenistic. A lot of them descended back upon the city in this month, in this week, when you have the pagan festivals going on, the Super Bowl and Mardi Gras. And the whole nation's eyes up on New Orleans, that very city in which a lot of them looked on with disdain. It was the governor of this state now that all of them sat back, and while a woman was doing her best, was one that showed some of the best leadership at this time, at each particular time, now when we have hurricanes or any least little thing, he's the first one to cry wolf. You know, that's not a good sign of leadership, that if a dog barks at just anything, you have to get rid of that dog, because it's like the little boy that cried wolf. Well, each time a hurricane is anywhere in the world now, this guy calls it put it on major alert, which causes a whole lot of money. We have to see when this danger is imminent, and you have to be skilled at this. Just like you have to be religiously skilled to pick out Satan when Satan comes up among you, you have to purge out the false believers. Because if not, Satan's ministers will come in as ministers of light, and what they do then, they can syncretize religion. Religion in Louisiana has been syncretized mostly among the Catholics, mostly among the ones that say that they're Bible believers here in the southern region. This is the one that's trying to spread this disease throughout the nation. They're trying to spread rebellion against authority. They're trying to spread corruption of authority because, like I say, the government here has become utterly corrupt, more corrupt now than it ever was, because it's a different type of corruption. It's a religious corruption that joins together church and state. That's a beast world system. That's an antichrist system. So we look at it, and Esau sat back. We can't sit back. Those of us in the church, we can't remain neutral. We have to do something, and God's people have to do something at this day and time. But he's not talking to us all. Some of us are babes in Christ, and they call them people that really aren't trying to progress spiritually. And we just read about, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word. In other words, they get into religion and they say that they're carnal Christians, or they just have this. In other words, they're not truly interested in serving God. God is just a vehicle where they progress through. They get out and they talk about money blessings and prosperity and all that you can have in the Lord. They're not seeking the Lord, because God says, seek me first, seek the kingdom of God. All these things that be added unto you. But if you see the larger churches and most of the churches and things now, what do they go after? They go there for the money of the healing of the prosperity that's being preached or taught. So what you have is an unrepentant church, a carnal church, a fleshly church. And we've studied that the carnal man is at enmity with God and cannot be subject to God. Indeed, can never be subject to God. We have people, we were talking earlier, where your own relative, it's people that you know, mark the days that God had set aside as holy days. as if he established the Sabbath in the beginning, and if that same person, you would tell them to recite the Ten Commandments. And if they were to recite the Ten Commandments, I don't know if they would use the word remember the Sabbath. They might say keep the Sabbath or keep the Sabbath day, and then they'll give you a humanistic, a philosophical reason why they feel Sunday is the Sabbath day. It's because of man's reasoning, and they use a pagan holiday such as Easter or whatever, the resurrection, which they have gone biblically astray from, to justify changing what God said. The Sabbath, that's why the Ten Commandments says, remember the Sabbath. The rest of the laws, he give you a stated command. But he just said, remember the Sabbath, because the Sabbath was established in the beginning. That's the day God rested. God changed it not. So if he had to change that day, it wouldn't be ambiguous. He would make it plain. It wouldn't be where you can doubly interpret it that day. That day would establish in what God sanctifies and set apart as holy, no man can make unholy. And you can't make a day holy. If he said, these 6 days God rested, but on this day he worked, this day he rested. But when Jesus said, the Spirit do it yet, work it, the Spirit is different from the flesh. So when you start seeing a fooling around with the Sabbath, that's a mark of the beast. That's an abomination of desolation. And either you want to learn of it, or else you satanic. And I don't have time to explain to you if you're satanic, because you're not coming to learn of Jesus. Because, you know, Jesus got to a point with the Sadducees and the Pharisees where they asked him something. He said, well, look, let me ask you something then. And he asked them about the baptism of John. Was it from heaven or was it a man? You know, they got to a point that it says that they durst not ask him any questions anymore. Because he starts speaking to them in parables. And Peter called him and said, Lord, why do you speak to them in parables? He said, because it's not for them to understand. You get to a point where, you know, it's Christians that you learn as you grow. You're not a babe in the Bible. You shouldn't keep drinking milk. That's why Paul was upset with the Corinthians. He said, you're yet carnal. I could not speak to you as spiritual. And here in Hebrews, the Hebrew writer says that they're not able to drink milk. He says, verse 11, of whom we may have many things to say and hard to be uttered. Hard to speak to, seeing that you are dull of hearing. I can't talk to you. I can't preach to you because you can't hear. The world has you contaminated. You like Demas. You have forsaken Paul for this present world. It didn't say Demas forsook Christ and he had forsook Christianity. It's like Anne Rice. She said she was leaving Christianity. She wasn't leaving Christ. She's a very smart woman. That's the woman that wrote Twilight and all that the people call pagan or whatever. But she's smart enough to know Christianity is the Antichrist. That they have gone from the road, that Christianity distracts you away from Christ, that it attracts you to man. She said she wasn't leaving Christ. She wasn't leaving Jesus. She was leaving the Broadway. The church is going the Broadway. That's what she was leaving. Paul, he said, I can't speak to you. You're babes. You're yet carnal. You have divisions among you. And the Hebrew writer continues on. He said, you're dull of hearing. Well, we've heard of dull of hearing before. Isaiah was sent to people that were dull of hearing. God said, I shut their ears up so they can't hear. Because they had rejected God's word. They loved darkness rather than light. These are carnal people. Don't give that which is holy unto the dogs. After the second admonition, you reject them. If Satan can't do anything else but waste your time, he'll waste your time. He'll have you wasting your time preaching or teaching to him. And, you know, Paul says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. When the 5 wise and the 5 foolish went out to meet the bridegroom, did the 5 wise share the oil with the 5 foolish? Did they tell them, you go to those that buy and sell. You go back to those that been sending, selling you money coming, that have all the tapes to sell. You go back to who was preaching you this foolishness and let them teach you these things. I don't have time to teach you this. I'm pressing on towards the mark. Not that I have anything against you, but God has called me further this way. I'm not fit to stand here because I see your problem. At the last days, didn't Paul said, bring Mark with you. He's of a use to me. He didn't say he didn't dislike Mark or whatever. But him and Mark was two different type people because Mark had left him with the work when they went to Pamphylia, I think it was. He was of a different spirit. He approached things different. God put Mark with, put Paul with someone that was like Paul. If God placed you into a certain church, he says, I'll give you pastors after your own heart. Well, just because we're husband and wife, just because we're friends, or just because you might need to belong to that church over there. You might, wherever God sends you, that's where you go. You be fully persuaded in your own mind. But once you get over that, don't try to move me. Don't try to proselytize me from where God has me. You proselytize one and you make him sevenfold of hell, child of hell than you are. If God had called me to a work, let me go to that work. So, because I may be carnal over you, he will give you pastors after your own heart. But if you can't listen to me, if you can't respect me as your pastor, as Creflo Dollar says, don't come here if you're not going to do like I asked you to do. Don't belong to a church if you're going to talk against the pastor. If you're going to talk against the church and the church members, those are your brothers and sisters. If you don't love them, if those that are inside here are not your mother, sister, and father and brother, those that do the will of the Father, you got a problem here. See, because the guy that was in the Corinthian church, when he wasn't acting right, Paul says, turn this man over for the destruction of the flesh. Turn him over to Satan. When he said, for the destruction of the flesh, in other words, so God could get that what's in him out of him, that carnality, so he can purge that out of him. Have no fellowship with this guy. After this man repented and changed his ways, Paul told the people, now y'all not right if y'all don't accept him back in. He was sorry and he repented. You need to accept him back in. That's the way. That's the way to accept him. But long as he's walking in his carnality, we have to purge the church of these things. But I can't keep on explaining water baptism to someone. I can't keep on explaining these things to someone. What the writer says, verse 12, Hebrews. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, you've been in the church all this time, you need to be teaching somebody else. But you have need that one teacheth you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. In other words, when you was coming to church, when you was coming to Bible study, you wasn't listening at what I was saying. You were determining on what you were saying next, or how you was going to evangelize other people or something. But you need to pay attention to what's going on in the church. So if you do go out there and do what the Bible says, what the Bible says do? It says, do the work of an evangelist. So you need to go out there and evangelize the world. You need to speak about God. You need to be a witness of God. But make sure you're on the same page as the church. Don't get out there and the people say, well, he explained this way or you explained that way. That ain't what y'all believe, but that ain't what's going on. He said, now let us be all of one mind. Let us all speak the same thing. Doesn't the Bible say that? So you need to get on one accord. You need to get it. You're walking in the flesh. You're walking carnal. These are your thoughts and your mind. And God says, your thoughts and your ways are not like mine. You've been here long enough, he says, to be a teacher, but you still don't get it. So he says, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. Some people can't take the strong meat of the gospel. You know, I try to depend on my deacon. My deacon told me years ago, he said, Pastor, you be hard on me sometimes. You say some hard things. He said, but God sent me to you. I can take it. I'll stand. I took that. I took that to heart. But it's a lot of people come in and I'm going to preach God's word no matter what happened. But you know, he was talking to me, honey. He was talking about me. That preacher had my name. I ain't going back. You're so offended. You're so delicate. I didn't hurt your little feelings. Well, if I keep hurting your feelings, maybe I'll kill that nerve. If you ever punch somebody on the shoulder, punch somebody so much that it got sore there, you know, and it deadens it. That's what deadens that spot. You know, sometimes people keep knocking you down. If you're not apathetic, you'll lay down and say, I ain't getting up no more. You just keep knocking. But Satan wants you to quit. Don't quit the church. Get that what's right out of you that I'm talking about. If you get straight on that, what I keep hurting you on, and you come back in here, we can't talk about me on that anymore. Then I go pull another nerve out. The Spirit may be leading me to purge you to get that out of your flesh. It's something in you you need to get out of. But if you offended at the words I say, did Jesus pull back any of the words that he said? He was getting too large a crowd. And he said, you must eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. It's a hard thing, you see. He didn't say I said the wrong thing. Can you come back? You have to assimilate that word. But see, some things he said, well, just like this writer here said. He says, I got a lot to tell you, but I can't tell you that now. I have a lot to tell my sons. My wife said, would y'all have the conferences on this? No, but I do like Abraham do. God said, when you sit down, when you're coming in, when I'm with my children, I do talk Bible. I do talk things that are right, that are sound doctrine, that can pass on in what's right and what's wrong. They get it little by little. Here a little, there a little. Precept by precept. Word upon word, line upon line. Isn't that how God does us? He's patient with us. My son was having a conflict and my wife said, well, you know, he don't know. I said, but you have to be patient with him. Hadn't we all made mistakes? Hadn't we all did? God just cut us off. He was happy as a little feline we left that last night. Because you be firm, but you have to have mercy. You have to show mercy. But you have to show them the straight and narrow. But if they can't take you saying, if I can't say nothing to you, you don't have to go on to where somebody can say something. That kind of person really don't stay in no church. He's not going to be able to stay in no church because it's something always going to be ticking him off because he's fleshly. Didn't it prophet Peter when he was walking in the flesh? He was so high spiritually. And he said, thou art the Christ. Christ was talking to him just like I told somebody else. God revealed this unto you. God talking to you. But you get lifted up by that. You get high-minded. Satan came right in there. He said, well, look, now we're going to do this, Jesus. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. One minute God's talking to him, the next minute Satan's talking to him. Paul said, when I attempt to do good, evil right there. Watch it. Don't get puffed up. Knowledge puff it up. When somebody tells you you know something, be careful. Buffet yourself because that high mindedness, that Elijah-like spirit, and you'll think, Lord, I'm the only one serving you. He said, no, you ain't. I had 7,000 over there that's serving me. So he says, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even though those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil, that they can understand both. Was this right about tired of them? Listen to what the first verse of the sixth chapter says. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. What it says? Leaving the principles. Let us go on to perfection. Let us go on to preaching the complete gospel to the church. I can't just preach faith to you. I can't just preach righteousness to you. I have to preach remission of sins. I have to preach regeneration. I have to preach sanctification. I have to preach all of the gospel, the whole counsel. So he says, not laying again of foundations of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Now, we can't keep digging a foundation. We got to sooner or later start on the building. The boxer can't keep hitting the bag. He can't just keep jogging. Sooner or later, you're going to have to put him in there with a sparring partner. Because for long, he's going to be at the big show. It's going to be showtime. So he can't keep talking faith toward God because it originates with faith. You have to have faith. Jude was about to write what he was going to write. He stopped writing and the Spirit says, well, look, speak to them about contending for the faith that was delivered to the saints. Because some people entered in into the churches as they have now with a false faith, with a faith in worldly wisdom and understanding. Faith in faith. That's not faith in Christ. Now, you heard me saying faith in faith. A lot of people have faith in faith. That's kept, be careful now. Of the doctrine of baptism and of laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and eternal, if God permits. And this will we do. If God permit. If it leads that way or whatever, it's a time, a place, we'll visit this back again. If God permits this to go that way. That's a smart man learning that to allow God to lead and direct. But sometimes we want to take the lead. And I said, what was fleshly in this time of year, we have Mardi Gras. I was telling him it was particular for him to have a discerning of spirit, and we all to have a discerning of spirit. Here's what a few pastors is saying about Mardi Gras. Was in this morning's paper about, is Mardi Gras a time of innocence, of parties and family-friendly parades, or is it something darker, a celebration of pagan gods, immoral behavior that must be repented and forgiven on Ash Wednesdays? Pastors disagree. Pastors disagree. Okay, I don't like reading or directing my sermon, but we have to state what's going on now and what's detrimental to us. So he says, pastors disagree. Some Christians say you should stay way away, far away from Mardi Gras, while others make room for the Louisiana tradition, urging tolerance and forgiveness, but not condoning immoral behavior. So you have the ones that's the narrow way saying that you should shun and stay away from it. You with me, brother? You have those that say, we can tolerate this. We can syncretize it into the church. That's paganism. See, that's why I say you got different views. Now, here's Tommy French. He used to own, have the church here on Weller Avenue. Now it's out on Jefferson. He says, the Reverend T.C. Tommy French, Jr., among those who sees evil at work when people gather for parades and ask those on the floats to throw them something. On the outside, it's just a lot of fun, but on the inside, it's the worship of pagan gods and the ascent of one class of people over another class of people. French says they parade in the name of the pagan gods like Bacchus and Comus. Our founding fathers in 1776 decided we didn't need kings or queens. And he said the slogan was no king but Jesus. But we have a group of people who set themselves up as royalty here and ride on floats overlooking the peons and throw them a pittance. That's why I say you have to come of knowledge in the church and the understanding. Because, you know, a lot of us don't realize you're not never invited to the ceremonies. You invited to the celebration of the king and queen. All these floats, Artemis, Rex, Zeus, all of them, they have their kings and queens, and you'll see the kings and queens in the play in the paper. They have a social ball and a gala. They just start having one in New Orleans. But you know, like I said, this is the only state which really celebrates Mardi Gras. But it's pagan. All those the mythical gods that they have those balls to, but you actually you're peons and you don't know it, because the only thing you can do, the coronation is when you get all of the kings and the queens and they have the feast and they have, you're not even invited to the feast though, but they have the celebration of it, Those are for the higher ups, those who understand, and they're mostly businessmen and people in the community. But where you are, you're the peons. In other words, when they're coming out, you holler, "Throw me something, mister." You're the little common field worker that all you need is a bead or a trinket or some candy. And it's have grown men pushing children out of the way, fighting, "Give me some beads, give me some candy." So all it is a plastic cup, a little teddy bear, this and that. But you're a servant asking and begging them for things. And it's just trash or garbage, because 30% of this, if you leave a parade, you have to have the street sweepers and things behind you. People pushing them, throwing away that same junk that you were fighting and struggling for, is left on the ground. But that's what the it's outward. That's to the fleshly man who enjoys the flesh, that's carnal, but he don't know what it's doing to him spiritually. Like I said, behind every idol there is a demon. But the demon that's behind these idols are the worshiping of pagan gods. It's paganism. Now, like I said, this varies, and you can't have churches from limb to limb, pole to pillar. See, because this same God that's saying this statement, they celebrate Christmas. That's the church that had the people arranged as a giant Christmas tree singing. So what he celebrates in one hand, he condemns on the other hand. That's why we have to be careful about judging. Okay, let's go to another guy. And this is, he's an intelligent guy. A lot of us know it. Bishop Charles E. Wallace, the founder of Christian Church in Baton Rouge. He used to be right here on North, on Convention Street. He has this big church over there off McClellan now. Charles Wallace. And he says, I also object to what he sees as pagan worship and tells his 1,000-member congregation to stay away from Mardi Gras events, and especially New Orleans. I don't think that God-fearing people should participate in it, although many do because they are ignorant of its origins, Wallace said, and I think all evil spirits come out of this. And he's right. And the reason he tells his church to stay away is because those spirits attach to those people, and those people bring those spirits back into the church. You know, spirits attach to people. And well, my wife was smart about some of those things. She don't just go jump in a prayer line. You people be praying for people to heal them or whatever. That passing of spirits around, spirits go into other people and come out of other people. That's why a lot of times Jesus put people out when he was casting or exercising devils. The devil was saying, "Well, let us go into these people, or let us go into the swine, let us go." They have to be put into another object. That spirit has to go somewhere. That spirit has to come out and go somewhere. And a lot of time it goes into the participants, but you have a bishop here down in New Orleans that condones it and is saying it's just funny, because why? He's right there in New Orleans where it's happening at. And like I said, I'll make copies of this article, but what I want to end with here is the origins of Mardi Gras. Are you listening? It says, Carnival is a long-standing tradition of the Catholic Church, and it marks the last day of ordinary times before the start of Lent, a time of fasting and repentance. According to historians, the celebration of Mardi Gras has its roots in the pagan Roman celebration of Lupercalia, and a February holiday honoring the Roman god of fertility with feasting, drinking, and carnal behavior. With the rise of the church in ancient Rome, now this is from the Roman Encyclopedia, from the Catholic Encyclopedia in the Catholic churches, where you'll find where they established the Sabbath also, the Sunday Sabbath. And he says, with the rise of the church in ancient Rome, Christian teaching and morals took root. But there remained a strong need to blend ancient Roman traditional practices with the growing Christian faith to help the people transition away from paganism. Let's use something pagan to help them transition away from paganism. Jesus is the only thing that you need to train. If you get the Spirit, all you need is Jesus. All you need is Jesus. You don't need a pagan holiday brought into the church to help transition you from some other pagan holiday. Jesus and Jesus alone. That's why Paul says laying aside all these other things. Because he couldn't use the wisdom of men. And he said when he came to Corinthians, he didn't approach them with wisdom or knowledge. He just came preaching the cross and Jesus and him crucified. Because, let's go on with this. He said, as Catholic Christianity spread throughout Europe, culture celebrated the last day before Lent in their own ways. Not God's ways, in their own ways. For example, in France, the holiday became popular as people feasted on foods that would be given up during the 40 days of Lent. Meats and eggs and milk were finished off in one day, giving the holiday its French title, Mardi Gras, which means Fat Tuesday in English. As Europeans crossed the Atlantic to colonize the Americas, they brought these practices with them. In New Orleans, mass balls and public celebrations quickly became common. The celebration became so popular that nearly every resident in the city joined in, even if they were not Catholic. So it has Catholic origins. And you see people, they say, well, look, let me go out and drink, because I'm going to give up drinking for Lent. Let me stuff myself with this. Let me commit all the sin, and then I'm going to fleshly give it up for 40 days. You can put mark me, and God said, don't mark your body. You can put some ashes up on my head this Ash Wednesday. Get drunk, Fat Tuesday, do all this up in the Fat Tuesday, and Wednesday I'm a change, man. I'm decided to do it my way. Wednesday you can put the ashes there, and I'm committed to God. That really sounds spiritual, huh? That really is spiritual to y'all celebrating Mardi Gras. That's what you're doing, and that's what you're teaching your kids. But you say you're not pagan, that you're not carnal. You have to purge our consciences of these. Purge it from running to these things. Go to 2 Peter. And ye shall receive the reward of the unrighteous as they count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are. Blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, while they're in your churches. And I tell you, this was the scripture that's also in Jude that says, spots they are in your love feast, that they don't mind coming in taking communion. They don't mind coming to the things pertaining to the church. They don't mind coming partaking of the word, because they go, do you like they did Ezekiel? They loved it to come in and hear the word of God. They loved it to hear the preacher. It sounds good what you're saying, but we're not going to do it. That's what they told Ezekiel. It sounds good, you're preaching, but we're not going to do what you say, Ezekiel. They're not going to be doers of God's word, that they love unrighteousness. They love darkness rather than righteousness. You know, and, you know, men love these festivals and these feasts and everything, and love all these holidays, except for the part when what's good for the goose is good for the gander. When your wife go out there exposing her flesh, when she go out there where the drunken men and all this feasting and thing is, then you got your dangers up there. See, that's the thing, what happened, what's good for the goose is also good for the gander. See, you go doing this, but when she does it, it's a problem. You see what I'm saying? That's how he gets into the family. It's all right and dandy while you're looking at all these young ladies doing the Super Bowl and all this, doing these reality shows and these award shows and things. But wait, does that your daughter or your little granddaughter that they're doing it to? You will call all these old men, these people, pedophiles and things. Then when it's your children that they're gawking at, when somebody catch them, because, you know, she's out there. She does have a shape. Suppose somebody offer her some beads to pull her shirt thing off. But see, it's going to be a problem then. It's going to be a problem when she run into the drunk people and these things happen with her. That's when the riotous fighting and carnality come in there. See, because if you ain't living right, you can't make your children live right. What happened with David when he was with Bathsheba? He was had this propensity to women. But if you have that propensity to women, what happened? Solomon loved so many women, he couldn't satisfy himself. But David, see, we all get old. We all flush. We all carnal. You know, David's people didn't know about putting a sword in David's hand. They didn't say, go get the preacher and let him preach to David. David's way was down. He had got pulled down after this episode with Bathsheba. So instead of saying, go get Nathan, go get a prophet. And David always loved it, the Lord. Let him have some good preaching and teaching. But what they say, you go get the fairest little young woman in the kingdom. Go get the most luscious young woman, this virgin, and put her in the bed with David. And you got so many old coons out there, so many old fools out there marrying these young women and getting hooked up with these women. And you know, she couldn't even keep him warm. It's a certain spot you just lay in there. But that's the only way his people thought that they could revive him, could put some strength into David, is put this young woman next to him. They didn't say put the word of God. How are you known? Are you known for your carnality? How was David known at the end of his life? God says the sword will never leave from your house, David. His children was in an honorary shape. See, but that's why he says in the latter days I'll spend the sin the spirit of Elijah. Are you a hell raiser in your home? Are you known for stirring up? Are you known for kicking down the altars of Baal? Are you known for setting Baal's altars on fire? See, Ahab didn't fool around like that. He knew Jezebel wasn't playing. Elijah had to be strengthened in that. See, you can be ever so strong in the church, but he killed Jezebel's prophet. And Jezebel stood up and said, look, just like they were, you could be that same way. You can run right here, raring up in the church if you want to. You can run right there after you get off, but you got to go home with that woman. And you got hell on your hands. She put the prophet on the run. Elijah took off running. You got to be a hell raiser, but you got to be able to have God raised to hell. You got to be able to have God fighting those battles. We're not fighting against principalities and powers. Look in the book of Revelation. It says he gave Jezebel a space to repent. Jezebel ain't going nowhere. God has to tame Jezebel because Jezebel has been always doing what she's doing because that's her name, Jezebel. Look at Jezebel there. I think she's in the church of Thyatira, I think. Okay, second chapter. And start at the 20th verse. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because they suffered that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed unto idols. When you go to these festivals and things, that stuff that's been sacrificed to the idol, that stuff is behind you. That's why Wallace said he'd rather his congregation not go down there. This other preacher was saying, well, we don't do it the way they do it. We keep it nice and Christian-like. We do it in a Christian-like way. I got in trouble for that in the Baptist church that I was baptized in 50 years ago. When the preacher's wife said, well, she was talking against Halloween or whatever. And I say, well, we talking against Halloween. What about that Christmas tree y'all got over there? Oh, that Christmas tree is holy. I put that Christmas tree up. You know, we can always justify what we doing. If they say, don't murmur or complain. Well, I can't speak my, I can't tell you my side of it. I can't tell you my opinion. He said, murmuring is talking about something you can't do nothing about. If somebody tell you this and that, really are you saying under your breath or saying it low? We're not going to argue about this. It ain't no discussion. When he was talking to Abraham about what God was going to do, Sarah laughed. And God said, why you laugh, Sarah? She said, I didn't laugh. God heard her. You think God can't hear you? When Moses and Aaron said something about Moses' wife, and God says, and turned Miriam into a leper. Because she spoke against the wife Moses had married. See, God hears what you say,
So there's no use talking back to your parents. It's no use talking back to those in authority over you. Don't be given to saying things murmuring under your breath or whatever. Don't be given to idolatrous like things. So Jezebel has always been here. It's always going to be those that try to seduce you, giving heed to seducing spirits. And so it says, I gave her a space to repent of her fornication. She repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and the hearts. God's going to do this. That's why I say sometimes if you're living with the devil, all you can do is love him. If he the devil, all you can do is love him. If she a devil, all you can do is love her. Because God says love your enemy. When Daniel was in the lion's den, I'm sure he didn't say, lions, y'all better keep y'all distance. But the Christians nowadays will go out there fooling with the devil. And that's when that devil will tear him from limb to limb. It'll be like the seven sons of Sceva tried to cast this devil out of this other person. And they went and tore him up and they came out there naked. Because they're Paul, we know. Jesus, we know. But who you is? You're not covered by the blood. You're not covered by that authority. I hadn't ever seen so many saints rebuking the devil. They rebuke colds. They rebuke everything that happened. It's the devil, and they can rebuke it. But it says Michael, the archangel, when arguing with the devil over the body of Moses, durst not bring a railing accusation against him. But says the Lord rebuke you. Let the Lord do all that. We have to slow this thing down. We have to get off that rack. But God will do that work. When Daniel was in the lions den, I'm sure he just sit out and said, don't bother the lions and they won't bother you. The best thing to do, you have to build up a lot of nerve. When them walruses and things come out there, just stay still. But you go to fighting them and swatting, that's when he'll get you. Stillness, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Stop moving about so much. If I'm in the church doing you something, he says, that's the faithful spot where my faithful mark Antipas was slain. Sometimes the devil's just trying to scare you away. You just have to resist the devil. It don't say hate your wife and call her all kinds of names. It don't say go out there and tell your parents or people about how bad your husband is and how he's running around. It didn't say go out there and slander and backbite your enemy. It says love them and pray for them. It says speak evil of no man. They're going to make you fight this thing in the flesh. We can't have this battle. Our weapons are not carnal. Esau was a fleshly man. All he knew was killing. And God's going to test the reins of the heart. God's going to put that spouse. God's going to put that child. God's going to put that individual. We see today when McCain is under such struggle. And we see the bitterness and all this thing that's within this man. To see him attack Chuck Hagel the way he did a fellow Vietnam vet, it was pathetic. He sat there with somebody like Lindsey Graham, which, man, you're talking about a pathetic generation. And they said, this man Hagel, he's going to be confirmed anyway. You know what? It's just like Barack during that first debate. Don't you fight your enemy. You just sit there and take the blows. You just sit there and let him throw all the blows. God says, don't resist this. He's going to take, it's not you they're doing it to. Jesus, when reviled, he reviled not again. He said, I'm coming out off this cross and get y'all. He just kept it to himself. Sometimes we just have to pray. Sometimes we just have to keep silent. But see, it's hard to kill that flesh. I know how to protect myself. I know how to do this. The hardest thing a manager has to do is to get a fighter to listen at him. If you got a fighter that ain't going to listen at you, son, if you're not going to listen at me, I can't train you. Because you will go out there trying to, you're not seeing what I see. See, fighting is a team. If you never heard of a boxer that's a good boxer that didn't have a corner. If you don't have a Kona, you can't make it. I seen boxing after boxing. Lou Dubin patched some of these guys up, and I mean they have deep cuts over the eye. You little cut over the eye, it's almost but gone because it's going to bleed down into the eye. You can make it with a cut up under the eye. But if you go out there, you might be throwing all the headshots you want. Let people throw the headshots at you. If God say you throw body shots to your enemy till you wear them down. Because as long as you ain't standing on the outside of the end of that punch and you stand up close, he might be hitting you, but ain't no power on him. But you step out on the end of that punch, he could knock you out at the end of his power. But if you throwing body shots during the whole round, about the 6 or 7 rounds, you done took his energy. He can punch all he wanted, but there's no snap to that punch. That snap is what knocks you out. He just throwing them up there. It weakens him. If you kill the body, the head got to go. See, but his mind was on, you can take it, you can make it. If you let the enemy just throw all the shots he wants, let him throw all he wants at you. He might think you down, but you ain't out. It's something else when the enemy get up off the floor and come back at you. Look like he done caught that second wind. See, he's sweating good now. See, you have to sweat when you're boxing. He's sweating good now. He got a good sweat going, and he done come back. He done got that second wind. It's something when them teams get that second win and come get you. Boy, look at here. Tom Brady, Super Bowl hero. Bad kick. Why? You can't come back. They didn't put it on you. You resorting to stuff that's in you now. When God tests the reins, you will start hearing your enemies throwing body shots at you. They will start throwing. And you know, that's bad when you go to saying things about people. Because words, you will remember words. You remember those cutting words, you know, saying your spouse could say to you that cuts you worse than if she'd help him or her to hit you. Those words is what tears you up. But all that's in the flesh, and they go try to pull it at you. Your enemy will go with you for a fight. So I was telling him, and sometimes your enemy be calling you to the fight. Don't go. They call you out there, do like when he was working on the wall. Nehemiah said, oh no. They say, come here, let me talk with you. No, I'm not going. Don't get into a fight with them. Don't strive over it. That's going to pull out the kernel, man. And they go, think it's strange. We need to end this one here. That you don't run 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter 4. We need to end this. Because God, like I say, God eliminates your enemy. Because if you kill your enemy, you didn't become a murderer yourself. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. When we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. That's what they could do when they called you. Man, you ain't going down here to the New Orleans with us? Man, why you ain't going to church with us Sunday? You used to do this. You used to go down in New Orleans with us. You used to do all these things, but it says our past life. Because it's verse 2 now. Wherefore they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Just because I don't do those things anymore, you think I'm strange. You think I didn't join some cult. Well, if you go call me a name, call me a occult. Say I belong to an occult, not a cult. Because a cult means to cultivate, to cover over. Occult means to uncover. We uncovering the devil. We going to pull his clothes off here. We going to show you the devil. We going to make him manifest himself. It's not a cult. We're not covering anything up. We will uncover the devil. We will expose him for what he is. The truth and the way is the light, huh? We want to get down to the truth of this. Why are you trying to hide this? It wasn't done in a corner. This gospel wasn't done in a corner. Let's bring it out. Let's speak the word. You know, the Jehovah Witnesses sometime will call you. Let's come over here and let's talk. Why we got to shoot you over here? Let's say it openly. Jesus said, I have said all this to you openly. I spoke openly to you. This ain't no secret. We need to walk this way. Walk in him. We need to be bold in what we're doing. And we're God's people. I don't have to explain my ways to you. If you see me with a pocket full of money and you say, well, look, you got $10, you can loan me $20. I might say, no, I have it to loan you. Man, I seen all that money you got, but I don't have it to loan you. Well, what you gonna do? It ain't your business what I'm doing with my money. You understand that? You don't have to explain things to people. If God leads you to explain these things, you explain. Some things is better unexplained. You be led by the Spirit of God. But you know, a lot of us, our pride is meant. People pray up on our pride. You whip that big old wallet out and you whip all that money out and show them what you got. That's pride. That's the flesh. People get to you by pride. You have to learn all the schemes of the devil. Samson, his wife, they could have been in the biggest fight, but all she had to do is rub his head. All she had to do is let him lay in her lap. All she had to do is caress him. That's a seducing spirit. That's the worst kind is whenever we get in an argument or fight, don't come trying to seduce me. Don't come use your womanhood against me. See, that's what people will do. They break you down, your defenses, and it's been work. Why quit using something that worked? It's been working all these years. Always, the woman gets the man that way. Weak through the flesh. You're carnal. That's what Samuel is. The Lord departed away from him, and he knew it not. He knew it not. You know, that's because we fight in our own strength. We used to fight in our own battle, so we don't know when it's us or when it's God. It's like that old commercial. Is it life or is it memory? You don't know. You have to get used to the light. You have to know that. Make sure of your calling. Make sure of your walk. But it's by what Hebrews say, by the exercise of use. You become skilled in the Word of God. Because for everything the Scripture says, there's a different way of saying that same thing. That's why when people come up to you with seemingly contradictory Scriptures, it stops you in your track and you go to explain it to them. You know why? You want to be a know-it-all. You don't want to tell it, well, I might not know that, but I'm not going to argue with that. But you want to be able to explain something to everybody. You don't want to tell nobody, well, I ain't going to get into that. The Jehovah's Witnesses got more serious than a lot of people. A lot of them say, well, look, I'm bringing my teacher with me now. I'll bring the teacher with me next time. I don't understand that. There's nothing wrong with telling somebody that this is above you. But you know the problem with that with me? That's killing the old man. God did that to you to show you, you need to study a little bit more to show yourself approved. Where next time, you won't be caught off guard with that scripture. I'm going to study that scripture in three more because I didn't know that one. But I'm not doing it for the flesh. I'm doing it because I need to know God even more. It's like if somebody say, well, what's this about you? Ask you something about your wife that you don't know. That make you inclined to talk to her more so you'll know what her wants and what her needs are. But then, that has a double edge to it. So you have to watch all these things. Don't go using somebody else's stuff. My wife always tell me, you know, the most time I get called to get tripped up, trying to tell somebody else's joke or somebody else's punchline because it ain't mine. So you can't do it right. Be yourself. That's what that person married was you. But you didn't marry me. I was a project. You married me to change me. You married me for the wrong reason. You should have married me for me. You along for the ride here. When we marry somebody, think we can change them, be not unequally yoked. Flesh and blood will fool you now. And you never know. They might do like Brother Johnson, say, I might change. They might change. It's a lot of people who promise you this and promise you that before you get married. After you walk that aisle, it's a whole different story. After they join that church, it's a different story. After you give them that job, they're a different employee. A lot of churches, we say, oh man, this is the church for me. After you get in there, boy, ain't nothing but devils in that church. Well, maybe you was the devil that came in there and deviled it up, huh? Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your word, Lord God, for your scriptures that strengthen us, Lord God, that we walk not in the flesh, not as carnal men in the church, Lord God,
But be spiritual, Lord God. We ask you would purge these things out of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.